Thank you for joining us for this episode of Shoulder to Shoulder, where we strive to grow in love of the Lord and each other. I am Pam Marvin.
And I'm Megan Silas.
And welcome, welcome back. We're excited to be here, as usual, just having our little lively conversations. I hope that our friendship blesses you and that you will forge friendships just the same, that you can have these lively discussions with that edify and serve the Lord.
Amen.
Well, what's our topic today, Megan?
Well, you know, we've kind of been trying to think a little bit along the Lenten lines over the past few episodes. And this one, I think, is coming at a timely point in Lent. You know, we're kind of journeyed several weeks in and, you know, maybe we've made some commitments that maybe we haven't quite kept. And it brings to bear the question of when we feel disappointed in ourselves in the spiritual life and how do we manage that? So I think it's a common problem for people who truly are striving to mm-hmm. grow in holiness and want to become mm-hmm. the person God calls them to be and yet feels like you've fallen short.
You know, I was just praying about that this morning. So I have some little insights from this morning, actually.
Oh, great. Well, we'll look forward to hearing maybe what some of your insights
were. Yeah,
but
set it up a little bit more, you know, about like, what are some of the common ways that we feel like we're failing?
Okay. Well, do you want to jump right into it or is there something you wanted to talk about?
Oh, yeah. Just as a little sidebar. So went to go visit the grandkids in Lafayette, Louisiana, mm-hmm. this last 2 weekends ago. And they live on the same block with their church. They're actually in Karen Crow, Louisiana, St. Peter's.
Okay.
Right? It's just like literally they live next door to the mausoleum, the pack, and then there's a church.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. But on the other side, neighbor, and then the priest is on the other side of the neighbor. So okay. They're on the same block with their priest.
Cool.
Their priest happens to be about their same age. He's like young 30s, neat. I guess it is. Well, I was there for my grandson's birthday. And it was just the coolest thing. It was Saturday night before confessions. He walks over in the full-blown cassock, you know, the long one, walks into the house and brings him some popcorn, but not just any popcorn. It's one of his little side hobbies is to make popcorn. So it's like kettle corn, but it's popcorn.
Uh-huh.
And then he wrote happy birthday, Reed. And he
cute.
Came in, giving him the high five. But
uh-huh.
I just thought that is so stinking cool. The priest walks into the whole living room and his cassock before senior confessions and gives you popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I'm just so thankful that my grandson has that opportunity. He's just an amazing Father Chris, amazing young man. I'm just really love going to his masses. It's really cool.
Yeah, that is neat. It's cool to have experiences of our priests as real people, you know,
yeah.
who are human beings that need to be loved on and, you know, have personalities and all that sort of thing.
Right.
So
yeah.
that's really good.
Had a lively conversation. He was just starting out with a carnivore diet. So we had a few exchange words on that too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you had a lot
fun.
To say about that,
sure.
having had much experience yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good. Good. So I don't really have a lot to bring on sort of like my little personal information, what I've been up to kind of thing. I'm getting ready to do a couple things for Lent. As far as more public things, I'm going to be giving a talk on the Stations of the Cross, which you know
wonderful.
I love. We did an episode about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always just a pleasure to me as a passionist to sort of encourage people to, you know, really make the Stations of the Cross their own in their own spiritual life. I think
I'm working on it, Megan.
For folks who are going through Lent and maybe haven't done the Stations of the Cross on Fridays, or maybe they're going and they're doing it with their parish and just kind of following along in the little book and saying what they say in there. I just want to encourage everyone to maybe in their own personal prayer life, intimate with the Lord, journey the Stations of the Cross without a book, without somebody else's words, just really in your own heart, go and walk with the Lord.
You know what? For me personally, I am not great about it. I think it's because I'm a super sensitive soul and I've found it to be super painful for me and of course with my comfort thing, you know. However, I think what I would truly love is classic art. of the stations of the cross. Like if there was like this, just to contemplate beautiful artwork. So if you know anything like that, please send it my way. Or if the listeners do, let us know at our Facebook page, Shoulder Word Number Two Shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, I'm constantly looking up images.
I have some stations on my computer at work too, because I love them.
Yeah. They're have a friend.
The Caravaggio's scourging is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually a mutual friend, our friend Charlene, every Friday through the whole year, I write a little reflection on Christ's passion and I accompany it with an image. So every Friday, like I'm looking up an image of has to do with Christ's passion. And it's really interesting to see all the various expressions of, you know, artwork in as it relates to Christ's passion and so many different styles and the different ways that they address things and whether they make it really gruesome or make it like more romanticized or, you know, what they choose to focus on. And so often in religious art, there's so much depth and meaning about all the different things, like just the way a hand is oriented or the who's in the background or the positioning
where
of the
body sticks out of the arm.
So that's another place to really go during Lent, maybe is to spend some time meditating on some iconography, because that's such a beautiful, prayerful way of entering into the reality that these things of our faith are both spiritual and physical.
Mm-hmm.
The incarnation changed everything about spirituality. And so that's one of the reasons why images and statues and everything are so important to the Catholic faith. I mean, this is something that there was a major like battle in the church over in the early days of the church where, you know, they had the iconoclasts that wanted to get rid of all the graven images. But the reality is that our faith is incarnational and these physical images help us to connect with a God who loved us so much that he became flesh. And so it can be a really beautiful way to really, really settle in and focus on an image and spend time with it instead of like, okay, done with that station. Let's move on. Or I don't even look at it because I'm doing it at the church and we're just staying in our pew and the clergy's going around. So just really embrace it. It's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
My soapbox on the station.
Okay. So the topic today is dealing with our feelings of failure in the spiritual life.
Right.
So define failure.
Well, this is why I said feelings of failure.
Okay.
Because what we feel as a failure isn't necessarily a failure. It just means that we within ourselves and however we're looking at a circumstance about who we thought we would be or wanted to be or thought God wanted us to be or other people expected us to be, that we feel like we've fallen short of that.
Okay. I can see that. I guess the way I would, I didn't even have the feelings part. I just had the failure part because I don't know. I just see that way as like when I'm really striving and striving. But the one saint that has helped me the most on this topic is Saint Therese of Lisieux.
Okay.
Do you want to know why?
Of course.
It is the whole imagery of the elevator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she says, I crawled in the elevator, but simply only Christ that lifts the elevator to go up and down. And I think for me personally, all of my shortcomings, again, just this morning in prayer, I was like, man, I fall short here and I fall short here. And then I see I am saying the word I a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I reflect on what God wants. Like, you know, none of this is happening without his grace. So why would I put it back on me as not being able, there goes the white knuckle stuff. Oh, I got to be better.
Right.
Why am I not better by this time kind of thing? And in fact, it's the slowing down and relying more on God in a simplicity and purity of faith, you know, like in the surrender prayer, Jesus, you take care of it. I surrender everything to you. When we can do that, kind of like the woman with the hemorrhage, right?
Yeah.
She had such great faith because she just surrendered everything to him and she knew what he could do for her. And I challenge us with this one is that we're leaving Christ out of it too much.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree completely. And one of the things that I think is often at play here, it's funny, it's one of those situations where it seems counterintuitive. You're feeling feelings of failure, which often have their source in pride.
Or vanity.
But what I mean by that is you set up a circumstance where you determined for yourself what you were going to do or who you wanted to be or what you thought God wanted. And then you thought with your own strength of will and, you know, goodness, you were going to accomplish it. And then you set out to accomplish it. And then it, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And then you're going to beat yourself up on it when the Lord may be over here saying, I never asked you to do that. And it wasn't my expectation that you would. And guess what? Because it wasn't my will, I didn't give you the grace to do it so that you could learn that you can't do anything without me. But you're over here saying you're awful because you should have been able to do the very thing I didn't allow you to do for your own good. But Lord, you know, you deserve this. Oh, really? The Lord, he's going to say, you know better what I deserve than what I ask. If I deserve something, I would ask it and then I would give you the grace to do it. But you're telling me that I deserve better? Well, that's pride, right?
Right.
You know, and so I think a lot of times we function out of that place. And this isn't everything. Like, we'll talk later about when we really do fall short, when we choose the lesser thing, not the better part, but the lesser part. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do that and we can come to understand why. But I think for a lot of people who really, really do want to be holy, we set our own course, our own priorities because of what we think God is due or who we want to be for him. But we don't take the time to say, Lord, is this what you're actually asking of me?
Right. Which reminds me of one of my Lenten promises is to increase the amount of silence in my life. So what you're saying right there, though, is a certain amount of silence with not perseverance, prudence.
Mm-hmm.
The prudence in those situations. You know, we talked about several weeks ago giving up rushing. Mm-hmm. Or giving up imprudence kind of thing. So this really reminds me a lot of, did we choose wisely or were we prideful and decided this is what we needed instead of taking that time in silence, in dialogue with the Lord to be prudent and hear what he wants to say. Like, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Do we do that? Mm-hmm. Do we sit and listen and wait?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that question of the doing is really a big one because we get very focused often on what we do.
Mm.
You know, like if, say, for example, even reading like, you know, Matthew chapter 25 and Jesus is talking about the sheep and the goats. And it's like, it's really what you have done unto those, you know, the least of my brethren, you have done unto me and depart from me or come into your rest. Like it all, what you do, right? But it's important to remember that when Christ is asked, what's the most important commandment? It's love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body. And the second is like unto the love your neighbor as yourself. And so the loving is meant to precede the doing.
Absolutely.
And I think we get so focused on the doing and what we did or didn't do that we forget that we have to root all of our doing first in loving.
Right.
And so if we first come to the Lord, am I loving you in my heart? Am I honoring you by spending time with you and listening to you and really wanting to worship you? If we don't start there, but we run to the doing, we're often going to miss the mark because the loving is supposed to precede the doing.
Right. Well, I've come across in spiritual direction when I've been giving it, there is a certain wound in, like, it's only women that I see for this. And the woundedness is I am measured by my output.
Yeah, that's a
what
common
I
one.
Can do. Mm-hmm. And so that carries over into the spiritual life. So during these last week or so of Lent, I challenge you, if that this resonates with you, to look behind that to say, is this true? or it's not true? Am I valued by my output?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that we know what the truth is you can only find that in the Lord.
Right.
Right. But if you have that as a root wound, you're going to be working from that place pretty steadily.
Sure.
So I challenge you to go back and start to say, is this my experience that I feel only valued by my output? And how can the Lord correct that?
Mm-hmm.
To speak the truth that you are not valued simply for your output, but in who you are and who God delights in.
Yeah. And maybe another way to say the same thing is it gets to the question of purity of intention. Am I doing in order to earn something? Am I doing this to earn the love of God or to earn the love of another person? Or am I doing this out of the overflowing of love and grace that God has given me that it then yields its increase? So I'm loving out of the surplus of God's love. That's the place where you want to be functioning. That's where the place where you're going to feel fulfilled and you're going to feel like you're living in a way that's according to God's will. When you're doing out of need and looking to receive back something, even if it's love, it's always going to then feel like it falls short and feels like it's not enough, and you're never going to fill that cistern, right? Like, you know, that whole image of the broken cisterns that will hold no water. I think it's in Hosea. It's such a powerful image because you can keep doing and doing and doing and trying to fill. You're still going to feel the emptiness and the lack because you're not meant to love out of need, but out of abundance. So then you have to go back to that place that says, why am I feeling so much of a poverty?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I'm doing and quote unquote loving out of need instead of right. out of abundance.
And it is out of a woundedness. So that's yeah. why it's always so important for us to dig in. Lent's such mm-hmm. a great time to do that. If you haven't yet, just kind of dig into, you know, there's a whole RC Spirituality has put out a root sin workbook for free.
Oh,
how about
nice.
That?
All
yeah,
right.
It started flying around. I've gotten two people send it to me to take a look at your
good
root
deal.
Sin because that's so important when you try to dissect what makes you do what you do.
Yeah, but I do want to speak. So we've kind of talked about like when maybe we're being too hard on ourselves in the sense that we're actually judging ourselves as falling short simply because we've placed expectations in a way that are inappropriate or
yeah.
determined by ourselves and not determined by God, because
right.
God will always equip us to do the things he asks us to do. Right. And so mm-hmm. we are letting ourselves down, not so much God, but we're kind of like sort of projecting it onto God, but really
yeah.
it's really ourselves. But sometimes we do fail. We do fall short.
Sure.
Like we sin.
Right.
And
right.
that is a spiritual failure. So I think it's worthwhile talking about how we address those realities when we knew better and chose the bad thing.
Right. Well, I got to go back to like, what was it that triggered my thought about I'm relying too much on myself
mm-hmm.
to get better? And it was something I've been asking myself over the last year and a half. Why am I not any better? I kept thinking, you know, I'm doing the things, I'm doing all the things, you know, but yet I don't feel like I'm a better, holier, more peaceful person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the answer is because I had too much self-reliance.
Okay.
I wasn't, you know, relying enough on God's grace, knowing it was alone. I conceptually knew that and would ask for God's grace. But there's still a part of me like, well, I got to do my part. I must not be doing my part if I'm not better,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think that was kind of a trap for me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not doing my part and I just don't know it, you know, but maybe,
well,
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's what Lynn's about too, kind of figuring that out.
Yeah. Sometimes we also can be so close to ourselves that we can't see the changes that are happening. You know, have you ever been in a circumstance where you got together with somebody you hadn't seen in like, you know, 6 months or something? They're like, wow, you've lost weight. And you're like, I have. You know,
mm-hmm.
like you just didn't realize it, right?
Yeah.
That can happen in our spiritual life where we're so busy looking at our you know, failings. They're so busy with our examination of conscience
yeah.
that we're always convicting ourselves of the way that we fall short. We actually can sometimes fail to see our own growth. And that's why it's helpful to have a spiritual director or a spiritual friend to really be like, you know, hey, I've been working on this and I feel like I'm not making any progress. What do you see? Are you seeing progress?
Well, one of the things that's happened to me that I haven't done in a while, and all of a sudden I'm doing it again, and it's just, it's a horrible habit. And maybe it came up because we're supposed to talk about it. So the habit is you have an interaction with someone. Perhaps they treated you what you felt like was not inappropriate, but rudely.
Uh-huh.
And so your mind starts assuming all the worst.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, I've been so good at always assuming the best in the past. That's just my MO. Oh, you know, maybe they're having a bad day. It's, you know, I'm not going to take that personally. So forth. And all of a sudden, poof, it dries up and blows away. And now I'm always like, oh man, they just don't like me. You know, having that horrible little dialogue in my head. And I don't know what happened. What happened to change it? Like all of a sudden, that negative thing is coming back into my head, you know, that vanity kind of stuff. It's like, if I, you know, do you do something to have a trigger? Is it just a practice that I've forgotten? I really don't know. I'm dumbfounded by it. So that was like kind of one of the things I was thinking of. It's like, I used to be better about it and now I've regressed in it, which does warrant us saying that ladies and gentlemen, if you're not moving forward and progressing in a spiritual life, you're moving backwards.
True.
And I think, I mean, I'm just a little ping pong ball right now. Ding, ding, back and forth, I suppose.
Well, I do think that sometimes when we work really hard to grow in a particular virtue or overcome a challenge, and we do the work and we see the progress, and then it becomes more natural to us to live in a way that's outside of that issue, and you are living in holiness and we're not doing it. Like, I think it's just like with exercise, you know, you can reach reach a goal. And so you were working really hard and you reached like a physical goal. And then you're like, okay, well, I can take a break now. But then you don't go back to the work that would help you maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to get weaker. And then you get a challenge. And that exposes, I've lost strength in this area. So sometimes I think the Lord allows these challenges in order to remind us you need to keep, even if you've overcome something, there's going to be some maintenance that's necessary to keep it up.
You know what scripture comes to mind?
What's that?
Is expelling the demons from the room and making it clean, and the seven more come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That really comes to mind.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I did want to get back to that one thing where we're talking about when we actually have fallen short. So, you know, you're kind of saying like, hey, I committed not to do this. Now I'm doing it again. So I'm feeling like I'm falling short. So what do you do when you get to that moment where you're like, okay, yeah, I stuffed up. I fell short. I chose the lesser part, or I sinned or whatever. You know, there's more than one path you can take when you realize that you've done that. So what are some of the paths you would see?
Oh, well, like immediately it is first, it still took a little time to recognize what I was doing, that I was assuming the worst about a person.
Uh-huh.
You know, like for instance, I pass someone I know in the grocery store and I say hello and they just ignore me and walk by, right? Oh my gosh, they just ignore me. I have all that dialogue. It's automatic. So I guess that's my natural human concupiscence, the first reaction. And then I tell my husband, I can't believe they just ignored me. Well, are you sure that they saw you? Well, of course I'm sure they saw me. And then I start thinking, well, wait, maybe they didn't recognize me. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that first part that you just said, I would say is you're cooperating with it now. Like, so you did it. And now you're continuing to cooperate with it.
Yes, so that's so true.
Okay, so then that's not the best choice. Well, I think we can agree that's not the best choice, right?
Not the best choice.
So was another choice would be then first you acknowledge it. Okay, I acknowledge that I'm doing this now, right? You've kind of gotten out of the moment and you're like, okay, I did this, or I acknowledge that this is coming back in. So where do you go from there?
Yeah. Once I did realize what I was doing, I was like, oh man, you've just really fallen back in an old habit.
Okay.
This was an old habit. And it was when I was, I took way too many things in life personally and worked really hard not to take anything personally. And all of a sudden, I mean, literally years, and now it's slipping back in. So I started telling myself, you're taking this personally. Mm-hmm. Why? Why are you letting that in? Why are you giving that person power? We've had conversations about this in the last month too. Why do you give a person that kind of power over you to make you feel bad about yourself? Mm-hmm. Like you feel less than, right? And I don't know.
Yeah.
No reason to. So I don't know. And it's, again, I think it's just like something I have to combat. Maybe it's one of my things for Lent that I should be taking, adding. Well,
can I give you a suggestion?
Of course.
When we recognize that we've done something that's falling short, I think once we recognize it, it's great to have a first response to it be like repentance. Lord, I'm sorry I did that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not who I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not who you want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
So in that repentance, then say, Lord, I need your grace. I need more grace to not continue on this path.
I did do that.
Well, good. Awesome.
I didn't apologize to the Lord for thinking that, though. So that's something I could be doing.
So those two things together, like, well, it's actually three things. Acknowledge what you've done with honesty. Repent. Ask for the grace. And then make a plan.
Make a plan.
Make a plan. How are you? Because you're the one, you're a Miss Practical girl.
I tell you.
What are the practical steps that you're going to take going forward to avoid falling into that
trap
pattern again?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's the way that you take the bull by the horns, are honest about yourself, and then move forward in a way that's going to be proactive and impactful. Because what the enemy wants more than anything is to stop you at the acknowledgement part. He wants you to stay there and just keep acknowledging, I fell short, I fell short, I fell short. And then what then will keep happening if you don't move to the repentance, which is really the ownership, he'll start saying, okay, yeah, you fell short. You stink. You're no good. You're never going to overcome this. So you thought you were over it, but you are right back where you were and nothing has changed and you're no good. And he just want to keep you there in that circle of self-deprecation. And, you know, because he doesn't want you to move to repentance and a firm commitment to amend your ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's what I would say when we, to wrap up, as far as if you've actually done something wrong, take those steps, acknowledge, repent, ask for grace, and then the practical way of your firm commitment to amend your ways. Those are the four steps. But before you do all that, you need to discern, what did I really stuff up here? Did I really sin here? Or did I simply set an expectation for myself that was unreasonable and wasn't God's will for my life? And now I need to go back to the Lord and be like, yeah, sorry, Lord. I kind of went off on the pride parade there. And can you now lead me where I'm meant to go? Because, you know, you don't want to go. If you start claiming everything as sin without checking in with the Lord to make sure that you were really meant to be doing that, as far as setting a commitment, you can fall into scrupulosity.
Right. So the main sin here, and I think I need to name it, and I think so many of us fall victim to it too, is thinking the worst of the other instead of thinking or choosing to think the best of the other. Does that make sense? Sorry. Thinking the best of the other rather than thinking the worst of the other. Because I used to be better at it, and all of a sudden it went away. You know, I'm like, why did it go away? Where'd it go?
Maybe rephrase it. It was challenged. And you were caught.
But it's happened a lot over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Right. But I'm just now getting it where it's like big enough for me to go, whoa, okay, we got to look at this.
Yeah. Well, and just to say, good that you're looking at it and that you're not ignoring it. And you're not just saying, okay, well, I guess I'll just do that now and not be, just let it be. Because that's the worst thing that we can do, is to just ignore it and continue to function in it instead of really inviting the Lord into it.
Mm-hmm. So also a question for you guys then too, when we're thinking about thinking the worst of other people, I feel like there's kind of like this little dark spirit on that. And what is it, just the spirit of division? I mean, it seems like there's something kind of like, I don't know. So my point is, I want to go through and just kind of rebuke whatever that is. It's like a spirit of disunity. Is that a thing? Disunity. You see what I'm saying? Like yeah. when is just like sometimes, say in our marriages, you get this little voice in your, well, I can't believe he didn't do his dishes one more time. You know, those mm-hmm. kind of things mm-hmm. to rebuke that voice, you know, that's trying to divide.
Right.
And so that's kind of what I really want to do is rebuke that voice that tries to divide or make me think worse about one of God's people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of times it often has to do less with what the person actually did or what they even may or may not be thinking, but the places that you're feeling insecure within yourself.
Okay.
And to really turn that back on oneself and say, okay, why do I feel needful of their affirmation? Or why do I feel like I don't feel secure in their affection or their respect or any of those sort of things? In the end, when we're inferring the thoughts and feelings of others, it usually has more to do with what's going on within ourselves than the other person. Because, you know, this is something I don't That's struggle true. With a lot, actually, because I have I'm very reticent to think I know what anybody else is feeling. So I tend to more stay within myself, but you're an external feeler. and so you're going to be more prone to that. So I would say, you know, often when we're struggling with other people and we're struggling to function in relationship with them in ways that we want to be holy and think the best, often that has to really go back to ourselves and really trying to understand our areas of insecurities and fears and asking the Lord to fill up that cup.
Amen.
All right. Well, I think we covered a lot of different ground. It kind of went different places, but you know, wherever the Lord leads, that's where we want to follow. So we thank you for walking this journey with us and hope it was a blessing to you. And we look forward to being with you next time. So until then, remain united with us in prayer. God bless.
God bless.